Our passage this morning comes to us from the fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel. And again, chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. And again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed, and some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Another seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, and since it had no depth of soil, and when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Another seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And the other seed still fell into the good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was all alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you it has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear the word, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word and that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the one who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a little while, and then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns, and they are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. This is the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. And now, for so long in this gospel account that Mark is giving us, we have been hearing about Jesus' emphasis on teaching, preaching. And we have some idea of what he was preaching. It starts out in chapter 1 telling us he was preaching to repent and believe the gospel. That was the core of his message when he started his public ministry. But what has he been teaching all along? We see this passage here before us begins to tell us the things that he was teaching and what he was doing when he was not defending himself against the Pharisees or the scribes. And we've seen here coming up to this passage this morning, we've seen just before this kind of theme of those who are inside, who are near to Jesus, and those who are outside. We've seen it in his own family, just before that, we see it in the 12 that he chose to be with him. And we see it in his own family that seems to be outside. They're outside trying to get a hold of him because they think he's lost his mind. And the scribes from Jerusalem come, and they are also outside, just like the scribes from Galilee who are seeking to have him put to death. They are outside. They're not with Jesus. They disagree with him. They accuse him of being a possessed Satan, Beelzebub. They are outside and are not near Jesus. And then in that closing passage, just before our passage, we see that his family is outside still. They're trying to get inside. And we start to see a distinguishment between those that are outside and those that are inside. Those who are near Jesus and those who are not. And Jesus gives us that distinguishment there at the end of verse 35 of chapter 3. He says, "For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and my mother." And so we start to see a distinguishment between those who are in and those who are out. And we see it again later on here in this passage today, where Jesus mentions those who are outside. He says to those inside, those with the 12, he says, "To you it has been given the secrets of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, everything is in parables." So there is a distinguishment being made between groups of people. We see that. And that this teaching in parables seems to be a marker of that, right? As Jesus himself declares it, we see that in verse 23. It came back verse chapter 3, verse 23. It says that those scribes that came from Jerusalem, when Jesus confronted them, he said, "Come here." And he started speaking to them in parables. Those who were outside. We see it again in our passage this morning. Verse 2 tells us, he began speaking, teaching all this crowd of people, this vast crowd from all over the country. He started teaching them in parables. And so what are these parables? What is a parable itself? It's a story, an earthly story, as we see. Something about the sowers, or something that we know here on earth very well. It's a parable, it's an earthly story. And yet it reflects something about the kingdom of God as Jesus teaches it. It's this, it gives an insight into our lives. It's almost as someone has described it before, a mirror into which we may see ourselves in relation to the kingdom of God. And it gives us the opportunity to ask ourselves, where do I stand? Right? Where do I stand in relationship to the kingdom of God? It gives us that reflection. It reveals the condition of our hearts in relation to the kingdom of God and God's word and scripture, or as taught here by Jesus Christ himself. We see examples of parables in the scripture. You think of 2 Samuel chapter 12. Where David is confronted by Nathan. He tells him this parable about a man with one sheep and a richer man with many sheep. And that rich man stole that one man's little sheep to feed his guest. You remember how incensed David was at that story. And Nathan said, "David, you are that man." That's what the parables are intended to do. A short story about earthly life that relates the kingdom of heaven to us. Exposes us, exposes our hearts and what's in them in relation to the kingdom of God. And this is what Jesus chose to teach in and by these parables. And yet we know in this parable stories that many people didn't respond to these parables. They didn't see nothing in them about the kingdom of God. They didn't see any spiritual truth in them. In fact, if you could, just in your own mind, imagine just for a second, if I would have read to you only this parable and told you, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," and walked away from the pulpit, you would have been left going, "What was that about?" Mike, we don't understand what you're getting at here. You need to give us a little more information. Well, some people didn't. Some people didn't want any more information. They didn't need any more information. It was a good story. Yeah, we know what that's like. We experience that every harvest or season or planting season. It's a good story about farming. They didn't see any spiritual truth in it at all. They didn't understand it, you see. And Jesus tells us that on some level this is intentional. It's why he teaches in parables. He tells us that in verse 12, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And we have not much to say about that other than it is the sovereign will of God. The sovereign will of God, who he chooses to give the secret of the kingdom of God and whom he chooses to withhold. But we should still be encouraged as always, because we know very well that many of those in the scripture who are so far represented as those who are outside, we know they have the potential to move inside. Because we know that many from Jesus' own family come to be believers and move inside Jesus' circle. We even know that some Pharisees, even the Pharisees move inside from that outside position. You think of Nicodemus as one prime example, and himself responding to a parable about being born again. "How in the world do you do that?" he says. "How is that possible?" And we begin to see a differentiation between those who are outside and inside again. You see, they ask. They are compelled to understand the Word of God. It's not that they immediately understand everything when they hear it, but they are compelled to ask. Just as in verse 10, it tells us, it was not just the 12, but those around him with the 12. They were compelled to ask Jesus about this parable. "Lord, we have heard this parable by sowing. There must be, we don't we're not sure we understand, but we want to. And so they ask. Just like Nicodemus, he came at night, visited Jesus, and he asked him, Lord, we know you are from God. No one can do the things you do unless God is with him. But I do not understand this parable. Please help me understand. And we see one of these differentiations again between those who hear this word of God and it means something to them and those who do not. And we know from the text, as I mentioned already, this is entirely of God's doing. You can't see it here, but in the Greek it is, he says to you, it has been given the mysterion, the mystery, the secret. It's something that not that you can figure out, but it's something that has to be told you. It has to be given to you. The mystery of the kingdom of God. And in the Greek as well, for those who are outside, everything is given in parables. This is entirely God's doing. His own prerogative and his own timing is not something that men are able to achieve themselves. Some men think that they're better than others. It's not so. It is given by God. And so this latter part of our passage deals with those to whom it has been given. Right? Among those who did see something more in this parable. Now it's pretty clear they didn't understand it even then, but they seen something more and they come to Jesus and they ask him. They're compelled to ask. We have to know. We see that Jesus explained it to them. As his Father had given them faith, he gives them an explanation. Now through his Son, Jesus Christ, and he expounds on this parable and explains it to those who come to him. Those on the inside, those along with the 12. And he explains it. We see that explanation here in the text. And in doing this, he brings this parable into focus. He brings this mirror, if you will, into focus. And these people see this parable for what it is. The seed being the word of God. And the different types of soil mentioned being people themselves. Those along the path whom Satan steals that word away because it finds no place in them. They don't see it at all. They don't understand. And it's quickly taken away. Those among the rocks who rejoice at it. They like it. It sounds great. But they have no real repentance of their sin. They want to be on the winning side. They want good things. Yeah, it sounds great. So I'll sign up for that. But it's very shallow. When a little bit of persecution comes and things get hard, they wither and fall away. And those among the thorns, we know what that's like. Those sown among the thorns and the weeds just climb all over them and choke it all out. The cares of this world is deceitfulness of riches. and many other things to fill their mind and time with other than the Word of God. And then last of all, we see those of the good soil. The Word of God fell on the good soil and produced 30, 60, 100-fold. It produced fruit in their lives. The fruits of the Spirit that Paul will later mention, Galatians. And these people are made to understand this parable. And what is it that we can take from this understanding? I know we often mention in the Reformed faith how encouraging it is to know that it's not the Word of God. If we stay faithful to the Word of God and we preach that Word and share that Word, our success doesn't depend on us. It depends upon God who reveals these things. That can be very encouraging to someone preaching the Word of God, to know that. But I don't think that's quite the point of this passage. Because the 12, even, they won't start preaching on their own until much later on, until they've had some time under Jesus' tutelage to start preaching themselves. But that will be enormous comfort to have when they go about preaching the Word of God, preaching and teaching all that Jesus taught them. What about themselves? What about themselves? They're compelled to understand this parable. And they're taught this parable, the meaning of it, point blank. And what does that do to them in their own? When they hear this parable and its explanation, hold it up to themselves, and they see themselves in relation to the Word of God, in relation to the kingdom of God that has now come upon them in the person of Jesus Christ. What about them? What are they supposed to do to take away from this parable? There's not a man among them that doesn't see his own sin. Maybe even see in his life a time when he didn't care about the parables of Jesus. Maybe in their lives right now they struggle with things. Maybe there are those kind of shallow folk who are in it for the good but are going to run away. And they know it in their hearts. It's the first sign of persecution. Maybe those folks that have a lot of weeds in their life and are not bearing much fruit, if any. What are they to do in the face of this parable? Looking into this mirror, what are they to do? Well, I ask you, what did David do? Let's turn there. 2 Samuel chapter 12. What did David do? Do you remember when he was confronted by Nathan? Verse 13. We don't have to read the whole lesson. I encourage you to go back and read this whole section sometime in your time. In the verse 7, chapter 12. Nathan said to David, "You are that man." And David's seen it. When Nathan explained it to him, he's seen it very clearly who he was. And we'll skip down to verse 13. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put your sin away. You shall not die. Does that sound an awful lot to you, like what Jesus preached? Turn with me back to Mark chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 15. What is it Jesus preached? What did he want to people to do? He says, his preaching was this, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That sounded like what David did. Sure does. Repent and believe the gospel. How about Nicodemus? What did he do? What was his response to these things? Turn there, John chapter 3. Nicodemus' encounter with Jesus came in late at night. Jesus explained all these things to him. He was really disturbed. He said to him, how can a man be born again when he is old? I don't get it, Lord. I don't understand what you're saying. It was a parable, you understand? Nicodemus asked point blank, can he enter a second time into his mother's womb as an old man? Jesus added a little bit of explanation to that. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. With many other things, Nicodemus continues to plead with him there. Verse 9, he says, how can these things be? And of course, she's answered him, truly, are you a teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? This is Old Testament stuff. This is Samuel stuff, right? He says, listen carefully to what Jesus says and where this goes. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and we bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted him up and the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. You see, that's what precedes that famous passage, John 3:16, that we love and cherish as the gospel. The very next verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. What are you supposed to do in the face of these parables? Repent, believe the gospel, just like Jesus preached. That's what these parables are meant to do. That's why you are compelled to ask. That's why Jesus gives you further explanation, that you would repent and believe the gospel. Isn't that what you desire? Nobody desires to be the reads that parable and says, "Oh, I want to be the path. I want to be the rock, the seed that fell in the rock. I want to be the one in the thorns." No. Everyone who understands that parable wants to be good soil. You want to. Well, then repent and believe the gospel. Right? It's not knuckle down and try harder. It's not look to yourself and your own doings. It's real simple. Repent and believe the gospel. That's what you do. And just to be clear, John... You know, even after another parable later on, John, Jesus says to some folks who are very confused and they want to know, they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus answers them and says, "Well, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." That's the work of God. You want some works to do? There you go. Believe in Jesus Christ. That's the works of God that he wants you to do. But there's no other name given to heaven by which we must be saved. You see? No other name. No other way. It must be humbly acknowledged. It is given. This is given that it might be understood. Those to whom it is given are compelled to ask. They are compelled to understand that they must repent and they must believe the gospel. Amen. Let us pray. Your Heavenly Father, Almighty God, that we are so humbled again before you and your word and the scriptures. You do show us a very, very good picture of ourselves in these parables. We see ourselves as very needy. And very, very, Lord, we need you so much. And we try so hard, Lord, to save ourselves at times. We know in our hearts that we just can't. Father, I pray that you help us to see that. Help us to see your teaching and the truth of your teaching and what lies behind your parables. Lord, give us this truth, we pray, in Jesus' name, that we might repent and believe the gospel. Oh, Lord, we ask you and plead with you in Jesus' name. Give us this, we ask. Amen.